It is generally understood that it's easier to live what you believe than to try to live what you don't believe or try to live differently than you actually believe. Therefore, it seems best to know what it is you believe, and then you may more easily and accordingly live what it is you believe. And therefore, at Daleville Christian Church, we offer an affirmation of our faith prior, or during, I should say, during the worship service. And this affirmation for Holy Week from 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently, saving you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers, in submission to him. God's word for this message is from John's Gospel in the 13th chapter, the 13th through the 17th verses. And this is the scene just prior to the Last Supper, their celebration of the Passover meal together. And Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am, said Jesus. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This evening we must talk briefly about slavery. Come to find out that by living in a free country like the United States of America, few of us know much about slavery. Yes, the United States for a while in our history condoned slavery, but we fought a terrible war that got rid of slavery in the American Civil War. But American slavery was different from ancient slavery. Even ancient Israel had slaves, and there are commandments in the Bible that talk about how to treat your slaves. Some of the early members of Jesus' church were slaves. Slavery is mentioned more than 20 times, and slaves are mentioned over 150 times in the Bible. But I will try to be brief. A few points to remember because of slavery in American history is that in the ancient world, slaves were still considered human beings, although enslaved human beings, not animals or subhuman. Slavery was not genetic, and slavery did not depend on appearance or nationality. In ancient Greek culture, there were levels of slavery, not all the same. Slavery was an open institution. A person might be able to move in and out of slavery, and slavery might be a step toward being a member of the family. That is, the slave owner's family, with all the rights and privileges. One additional confusion for us in the New Testament, those of us who live in the United States, is the actual word for slave in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written. The word for servant and the word for slave are the very same word. And it occurs in the New Testament 157 times. Some translations try to split the difference this way. Rather than simply use the word slave, because of the history of American slavery, which was very different from ancient slavery, Some translators use the word bond servant. The New King James Version does that. Or the word bond slave. These words mean that rather than being captured and taken into slavery, as American slaves were, the person was bound to the owner by debt, or indebtedness, or purchase, or war. And your side lost, so now you might be a slave of the conquerors. But saying it doesn't mean anything really different, you would still be an ancient slave, whether we translate it bondservant, or bondslave, or simply slave. As one scholar puts it, it really does just say, Paul, that is Paul the Apostle, a slave of Christ Jesus. So why bring this all up, and why bring it up in Holy Week? Thank you for asking that question. There are two reasons to mention slavery, two reasons we have to talk about slavery in Holy Week, and both reasons are in the Bible. And both explanations have to do with Holy Week. First of all, Jesus on Thursday evening washed the disciples' feet. This was an action and an activity of a slave. And I am convinced that Peter is most upset because he saw this task as beneath the station of Jesus, a teacher. Peter protests Jesus' action. Jesus even said to the disciples, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, or Jesus could be translated to say, no slave is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. What is Jesus saying but this? I'm doing the work of a slave for you. You are to be able to do the work of a slave for one another. That's the first explanation of slave for Holy Week. Jesus used the work of a slave to teach. Second of all, when Jesus died out of obedience. That is, Jesus needed to die, and so Jesus did. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. There's a saying some faithful people have that expresses this verse very well, and you may know it. It's a statement attributed to author Max Lucado. I'll read it to you. Nails didn't hold Jesus to a cross. Love did. Nails didn't hold Jesus to a cross. Love did. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know that when Jesus was taunted while on the cross to come down from the cross on Friday, Jesus could have indeed come down from the cross if Jesus wanted to. Why did Jesus not come down from the cross? And the real reason is that Jesus loves us. Jesus wasn't going to be like us right up to the moment of death. Jesus was going to suffer like us and go right through death. Having the power to reverse the process of his death at any moment, Jesus was tempted much more than you and I are ever tempted. We have pain and we would avoid it, but often cannot avoid pain. Jesus could have avoided pain, but lovingly and willingly took pain on and went the whole way to death. So he would know firsthand what you and I know and experience. That's important. It was important. The book of Hebrews put it this way, since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. It goes on to say, though Jesus was the Son of God, Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all, the source of salvation for all who obey him. Jesus was perfect in obedience by dying, and Jesus died so that we might live. His obedient death resulted in salvation for all who follow Jesus. Jesus was obedient as a slave is obedient, and he took the form of a servant, which could just easily be translated in Philippians 2:7. Jesus Christ made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a slave, taking the very nature of a slave. And Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took towel and water and washed the disciples' feet, saying, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Friends, we are free to serve God because Jesus was obedient as a slave. Jesus died that we might live new lives, no longer enslaved to sin, but serving the Lord who loves us, as the Lord has done from the very beginning. Amen.